Hi Crossway, great to share with you again today, and we continue in our series of Up, In and Out, and I'm looking forward to being able to share with you this morning as we come to week two in our series. I've got some Christmas gifts here. Megan and the kids at Christmas last year gave me a beautiful new suitcase and a backpack ready for lots of international travel that I was going to do in 2020. Let's just say that they've kind of stayed on the shelf for this year. This week, I was due to fly to Brazil to join International Congress of Baptist Churches from around the world. In September, I was booked for a trip to Thailand. And by the end of the year, I was going to be in Africa. The reality is I've zoomed around the world many times in recent months, but the backpack and the bag have stayed very close to home. I mean, that's a picture, isn't it, of life for us today in 2020, in these unusual times. I wonder where you'd like to be today if you could travel somewhere for us. We can think, we can dream about what's out there in the future. I mean, little did I know that come July 2020, one of the most stressful things I would face is simply getting a flight from Sydney to Melbourne. I was in New South Wales, had been planned just as the pandemic seemed to be easing here in Victoria. And I finally got to New South Wales with Ali, my son, to visit my aging parents and my older kids. Little did I know, of course, I would pick the week that the state goes into lockdown, the borders are closed. Never been so stressful to get a flight from Sydney to Melbourne. And flights are being cancelled last Wednesday, and Ali and I are unsure of what's going to happen. Are we going to be stuck in New South Wales? And we finally get a flight. We get through security, and Ali, kind of holding my hand tightly, says, "Dad, can we go to the Qantas lounge now?" And I said, "No, mate, we're in a different terminal and we're flying Jetstar." And Ali's face looks like a little boy who's kind of got to the toy shop and it's already closed. And I've got a spring in my step because I'm on a flight going home, and I look at Ali and I say, "Ali, today of all days, we're thanking God that we're even flying Jetstar." But Ali didn't seem to share that excitement and joy. But good to be back, good to be home, and to take this opportunity this morning of coming around God's word and unpacking this second theme in this three-week series, Up, In and Out. Pastor Heather opened it up for us last week, Up. Looking at the ways of Jesus, the priority of Jesus, the model of Jesus, that in his lifestyle, in the way that he lived, Jesus was committed to his up relationship, fostering, cultivating that love relationship with the Father, modeling for us his primary absolute commitment to spirituality, to cultivating that relationship with God. Next week, week three, Out. Now, our senior pastor will come back to that theme that is really common to us here at Crossway, the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. What is it for us to model the way of Jesus in being committed to disciple making? But today we come to in week two, in. And look at Jesus' absolute commitment to fostering, to building, to investing in small community, investing in authentic relationships, investing in loving community. I think it's a really good time today to pause and remind ourselves that that God is ahead of us. He always is, but I find myself at this time needing to pause and keep reminding myself of a faithful God who's ahead of me. You know, if we were to rewind back to the first service that we did in this online mode when we couldn't meet for public worship, it was 17 weeks ago. Yeah, 17 weeks ago, believe it or not. March the 15th. And in August 2019, when we got together to begin to carve out what our preaching themes in 2020 might look like, little did we know what the year ahead would be. And on that first Sunday, when we weren't together for public worship, but we were gathered as families across Melbourne, across the nation, across the world, what was our preaching theme? Extended family on mission. That's what I spoke about. What it was to be an extended family on mission, to be the church out into in the community. Yeah, God is certainly ahead of us. And now we fast forward those 17 weeks, and again, in a message that was planned last year, we come to talk about what does it mean to be small community. We're a large church, but we're scattered. What does it mean to be small community? What does it mean to model the in that Jesus prioritizes in the Gospels and we see throughout the New Testament? The call to be followers of Jesus who do life together, but not who just do life together, but who do life well together. Investing in, choosing intentionally to invest in authentic, loving community, to find ourselves in a place of belonging, to find ourselves in a place where we can grow in community with others around us. The importance of modeling Jesus' commitment to small community. Perhaps an even more important message than ever in a time like this, and particularly as we continue to move through this pandemic season. We see it from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We see that having been baptized and come out of the wilderness, the temptation period, Jesus enters his public ministry, and what does he first do? He calls others around him. He invites others not like him. He invites a motley kind of crew of different people to join him, to come into community. And we see throughout the Gospels, he calls others around him, the 12 disciples, the closest friends, the women in his life, that inner circle of people. He calls them extended family. They belong, they do life together in the highs of ministry and the lows and the mundane and the ordinary in between. Jesus leans in. He chooses to do life not on his own. He could have, he was God. But he chooses to lean in. He invests in authentic community, in authentic relationships, modeling for us the importance of small community as we grow as disciples, as followers of Jesus. In 1978, now some of you of my vintage can remember back to that time. In 1978, Malcolm Fraser was the Prime Minister. Hawthorne won the flag, the VFL flag. The number one song in Australia, "You're the One That I Want," John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. And in 1978, a song was released as part of what was the Scripture in Song Book 2. If you're of my age, you'll remember the Blue Book. And song 51 in the Blue Book, the Servant Song. I suggested to the team that we might sing at the end of the service today, but other than Denise and I here today, I don't think anyone was born in 1978. But the second verse of that song, I used to love it. You'll know why. "We are pilgrims on a journey, brothers and sisters on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load." Grab hold of that first line. You know, as an 11-year-old, I love to sing it. We are pilgrims. But that's who we are. We are pilgrims, followers of Jesus, strangers in this land, called to not be citizens of this world, but citizens of the kingdom, called to live countercultural lives, called to prioritize the works, the ways, the words of Jesus, to be Jesus' people in our community at this time. And as we pilgrim, we're called to pilgrim together, to love each other, to invest our lives in each other, to develop authentic relationships, to be welcoming, to be small community, to experience what Jesus wants for us, that vision of authentic small community in the midst of a big church, in the midst of a big world that we live in. And so with a pilgrim metaphor, with the travel bags here before us today, I want to quickly invite us this morning to step through and to consider afresh, well, what are some of the marks of authentic New Testament community? What does it mean to lean in, to building authentic community, to being a person who chooses to model the way of Jesus? I've got six I words to quickly give us this morning. The first week we were in lockdown, the first week we couldn't meet for public worship, the first week we went online like this, finding our way, we grabbed the blackboard and I scribbled some words today. And so as we're back in lockdown again in this new season of restrictions, we've brought out the blackboard again. And can I start today with this first word? And it's intentional. It won't surprise you. Intentional. Jesus was intentional in building authentic community. It just didn't happen. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't just something you can kind of manufacture overnight. You've got to be intentional in building Christ-like authentic community. It doesn't just happen. We've got to invest in it. And we see that in the Gospels as Jesus intentionally invites people into his world, as he intentionally creates time, as he intentionally makes space. Intentionality. I sense that over the next 6 weeks, and if we're honest, it's going to be a lot longer in terms of how this pandemic rolls out for us as we live in this new normal, as we live as people in the midst of a pandemic. The reality is we can become tired. You may feel tired this morning. You know, you may have entered into the pandemic season initially with a sense of enthusiasm in terms of the opportunities to build relationships, to celebrate community. But I sense many of us are feeling weary and jaded this morning. And I sense the Holy Spirit is challenging us this morning. Will we at this time, this weekend, this week, over the next 6 weeks, over the next 6 months, will we reinvest our lives in building authentic community? Not pull away. Not draw aside, not say it's too hard or I can't be bothered anymore, but will we sacrificially, will we generously give of ourselves and invest in building authentic community, cherishing and celebrating the model of Jesus and the way that he would like us to live. And if we look at Jesus' intentional model, as he calls the disciples around him, the likes of Peter or a John or a James or a Bartholomew, as he does life with his disciples, his inner circle, his friends, the women around him, as he does life, there's an intentional focus that they would take next steps, that they would grow in discipleship together. Yes, they did life deeply and richly. They were friends, you know. They ate together. They were there in the midst of life with laughter and storytelling and joy and tears. And yet there was that intentional focus that as they did life together, they might take next steps, that they might grow as disciples, that they might increasingly imitate Jesus in the way that they did life together. That was God's vision for that first community of Jesus followers as it is for us today. That we might intentionally reach out to others, that we might intentionally build community, that we might intentionally live authentic and vulnerable lives, but more, that we might spur each other on. You know, if I look back over this COVID season, I am so thankful that I've had a small community in my life, beyond my family, my life group. I cherish that small community. You know, we've Zoomed together, we've done Zoom Bible studies and Zoom prayer, we've got a WhatsApp group and we can share life, the highs and lows, the fun, the joys, photos, stories, jokes. We've done Zoom dinner parties, we finally kind of got together once in the lounge room and then that's gone again for a season. But you know, that's been such a sustaining thing for me. I don't think I'd be in the emotionally healthy position I am today if it wasn't for that group, if it wasn't for my family, my life group, my inner circle of work colleagues, and the two ministry roles I have. The intentionality of investing in and allowing others to speak into our world that we might grow as disciples of Jesus. Jesus' model was intentional. Jesus' model was inclusive. It was inclusive. Jesus models for us in the Gospels that picture of always being open to bring others in, not being closed to those around him. You know, one of the greatest strengths that we have in the life of the church, large church, small church, one of the greatest strengths we have are our circles of friendship. We celebrate them. We cherish them. You could rattle off names today of people in that circle who mean so much to you, but the challenge, that great strength can also be our greatest weakness. If those circles are closed, if those circles are closed to others being able to break in, we talk about there's room for you at Crossway. You can't have room for you in a closed circle. Jesus models a semicircle. Jesus models inclusivity. Jesus wasn't exclusive, but he reached out and he intentionally in the Gospels modeled something that was radical and countercultural that we might have lost sight of. He reached out to people who were not like him. A Jew who comes to a Samaritan woman. a Jew, a rabbi, a leader who touches a leper. A leader, a rabbi who brings around 12 disciples, but people not like him, a tax collector, a fisherman. People who were different, people who rubbed each other, who had to learn to do life together. Jesus is modeling the value, the priority of the kingdom. You know, we live in a world that still says birds of a feather flock together. The kingdom of this world says that the homogeneous way is the way to go. It's easy to be around people just like you. That might be true, but it's not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is to break down barriers. The way of the kingdom is to break down closed circles. The way of Jesus is to open up our circle that we might invite others into our life, into our world who are not like us. Now, that's a challenge right now. Just when we thought we could invite people back for dinner, just when we thought we could get people back in our house, just when we were back in cafes and restaurants, that will come again. But the challenge today isn't about the practicalities of that. It's more about attitude. When John Owen was here preaching a couple of years ago, the CEO of the Wayside Chapel in Sydney at a life care service, he said, you know, who we invite to our table, who we invite to our home says something very powerful about who we are as a disciple of Jesus. Now, right now, we can't invite someone to our home, but we are challenged to examine our attitudes. We're challenged to ask ourselves, am I reflecting the ways of the world? Do I just want to be around people like me? Or do I want to open my life up that I might model the inclusivity of Jesus? Arms open, beckoning others into my world, allowing others to experience belonging that might lead to belief, modeling the openness and the love of Jesus, to be intentional in building small community, to be inclusive. And then thirdly in that, to be invitational, the power of invitation. What does Jesus do immediately as he wants to build community and model that for us? He invites others into his world. Come, follow me. Come, be a part of my community. The power of invitation, as we said before, and he invites people not like him. He invites very different people, but he says, here is the opportunity to belong. Here is the opportunity to experience authentic community, the power of invitation. A couple of years ago now, we hadn't been at Crossway all that long, and we were still finding our feet in Melbourne and finding our feet in building relationships, left behind a huge network of kind of family and friends up north. And here I was one Sunday, I'd finished preaching, I was down the front of the auditorium, people coming forward for prayer and chatting, and this one lady came forward, beautiful woman, didn't know her at the time. And she simply came and said, my family would like to invite you and Megan, the kids, to come and have a meal with us, to come and have lunch at our house. We'd never met them before. We didn't know them. And there was a little awkward kind of moment there. But you know, we responded to that invitation. We went for lunch. These people know how to do lunch and that. They know how to do food. We feasted together. But I'm so thankful to God for that simple invitation, because today a lifelong friendship has been established. I'm sure wherever we are as families around the world, we will be in community together, and they're now a part of our life group, and we love doing life with them. Our kids love doing life with their kids. It started with the power of invitation, a simple invitation from this woman who dared reach out to one of her pastors and said, would you like to come for lunch? Yes, it's a challenging time. Yes, there's the practicalities now about, well, you know, we can't invite people around our table and into our home right now, but the time will pass and we will be able to again. But right now, we can still embrace that attitude. Is there someone this week that you could reach out to with a phone call? Is there someone that you could invite to Alpha this week, as Pastor Mark's already suggested? Is there someone that you could invite into your life group online on Zoom this week? Could you reach out to the life group team and say, we've got room for someone else? There are people yearning for belonging. There are people yearning for hope, particularly in this season. And we have the hope and the love and the grace of Jesus. Crossway, if there ever was a time to open our arms, even through technology, it is now. That we might be people of invitation. intentional in building authentic community, that we might be inclusive in the way that we do that, that we might be invitational, people who reach out to others, who extend that invitation to belong and find community. And then there is imagination. There is imagination. Intentional, inclusive, invitational, and then imagination. We can lose sight of this. If you pick up the Gospels and you come to Acts chapter 2, you read about the early church. They committed themselves to teaching of the apostles, and they did life richly together. They shared a common meal and they prayed. Everyone around them was in awe. All those wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that persons' needs were met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple. They followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People around them in the local community liked what they saw, and every day their numbers grew as God added to their number. We can read that passage. We might have read it so many times before, but we might lose sight of how countercultural those words are, that picture. We might lose sight of how imaginative and innovative was the early church, born by the Spirit and birthed to model something so different to the world around them. This group of people who came together to follow Jesus and to invent, to shape, to discover what it was to live as citizens of the kingdom in this imaginative new community. When the British arrived in Australia in the 1700s, and suddenly they needed to grow vegetables, to cultivate food, to cultivate crops, they realised that the soil, the ground, was not like it was back in the UK. Sadly, they failed to look to the innovation and the creativity, the skill, the knowledge of first Australians who'd been here for 60,000 years before them. But they established what was called Model Farm in northwest Sydney. You can still go there today, near Parramatta. They established these farms to learn to cultivate crops in a new way, in a new context, in a new climate. Model Farm. They had to be innovative in this new context they found themselves in. Can I suggest to us, it's a word from the Lord today, that in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of lockdown, in the midst of pandemic, we could be overwhelmed by challenge, or we could open our eyes afresh to a God of opportunity, to a God of creativity, to a God of imagination, a God of innovation, and say, God, how might you use me? How might you use my small group? How might you use my life group, my prayer group, my ministry team, you know, my missional community, my knitting and crocheting club? I don't even know if we've got a knitting and crocheting club. If we haven't got one, sign up online today and form one. You know, how might you use whatever community I'm a part of, worship team? You know, I used to be in the car park team. There's not a lot to do in the car park team right now, but how might I use my relationships, my small community, my team? How might we step out crossway and be on the front foot? Come on, now's not a time to step back and say, you know, woe is me, this is lockdown. Now is a time for us to step forward with imagination, innovation, and be the Acts 2 church. Be the Acts 2 church, to do church in new ways, to do church in different ways. And I don't know what that means for you. I'm exploring that in my own mind, and I want to explore that more with my life group this week. The Holy Spirit gives us the spirit of imagination and innovation. And some of the most innovative things in this world in terms of health and education and learning and the arts and music has come through the church when the Spirit has flamed creativity. Now's not a time to sit back crossway. Now's a time for imagination, to be the Acts 2 church, that the world around us might say, we like what we see. Intentionality, inclusive, invitation, imagination. Running out of room here. Two to go. You might not even be able to see that at home, but I'm going to circle that one. Inner growth. Inner growth. I would have never made a good school teacher. People wouldn't have been able to read my writing. although I think they don't even use blackboards anymore, do they? Get with the times, Scott. Inner growth. Scott Peck says community is a personal growth laboratory. I love that. That when we step into community, when we leave behind individualism, the world around us says, you know, me first, individualism, consumerism. But the Bible talks about interdependence. The kingdom calls us to community. The kingdom calls us to vulnerability and authenticity in our relationships. And when we step into that kind of community, as we see with Jesus and the disciples, as we see throughout the New Testament, what do we see? We see that community becomes an opportunity for inner growth. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, in the world that we live in today to be around others and point the finger and say, oh, wow, I wish they were different. Here's a tip. In lockdown, the next 6 weeks, things are going to be stressful at home. There's more likely to be some angst in our relationships, in our marriages with the kids. You know, if we go back into homeschooling, wow, we can't wait for that, can we? If we go back into homeschooling, there's going to be stress and pressures. But in the reality of community, you know, when I had the opportunity to gather with my life group, be it on Zoom or in the lounge room, every one of those people is different. And if I was just with people who were just like Scott Pilgrim, well, life would be fantastic, but also dull. But when I'm around other people, I'm challenged not to look at them and how they might change. I'm challenged to look at myself and how I might change. How might I grow? How might I become more like Jesus? How might I demonstrate more of the fruits of the Spirit? How can I learn from others? How can I learn from community? Community becomes an inner growth opportunity. We see it with Peter. I mean, go back when Peter first starts out and, you know, foot in mouth and all the mistakes and all the challenges, right through to his denial, and, you know, rubbing shoulders with the others. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's the most important? You know, what can we get out of this for ourselves? And Peter journeys with Jesus, and we see Peter from the Gospels. We see Peter moving through being kind of, you know, reconciled to Jesus. We see Peter in Acts. We see Peter who then, as a mature believer, writes his letters to the church that we still celebrate today. We see change. We see inner growth. And that doesn't come in a vacuum. It comes through community. What's it like to be on the other side of you? What's it like to be on the other side of me? I love that question. It's a really challenging one. Don't go and ask my wife today to answer that question, please. But what's it look like to be on the other side of me, the other side of you? At a time where we need to foster relationships like no other, at a time that we need to cherish relationships like no other, may it be we're open to the Holy Spirit being at work in our lives, molding us and shaping us into people who look more and more like Jesus. Community is an opportunity for inner growth. And finally today, the last one. It's initiating. It's initiating. What do I mean by that? It's initiating. It's focused on others. Jesus calls this group around him, this small community. And as he calls this small community around him, he kind of blows their mind because they see him as the warrior king, but he comes as the servant king. They expect kind of revolution, but he brings about kingdom revolution. He washes their feet. He lays down his life upon a cross. He falls to his knees and prays, Father, if there be no other way, then your will be done. He models servanthood. What we need to remember today, Crossway, is that we're not called into community for our own sake. We're called into community for the sake of others. We're called to build intentional community, to be inclusive, to be invitational, to be imaginative, to allow God to work in us, but we're called to service. That's what Jesus does. He calls community around him and they initiate acts of service. He says, go out and serve others in my name. Now again, it's a challenging time. Most of us will probably only do that in a very localized basis for now, but we can take up the challenge of our senior pastor. Right now, we can become pastors to our street. right now as small groups, we can encourage each other and pray for each other's streets, each other's households, each other's neighborhoods. We can be the church, extended family on mission. We're not called to live for ourselves. We're not called to live for our group, to get comfortable in a holy huddle, but we're sent out afresh to be Jesus, to model acts of service. God's ahead of us. Later in this year, we want to launch a new initiative called First Serve, where we encourage all our small groups, all our ministry groups, to see the importance of serving in their community, beyond whatever their focus is. That our worship teams, our life groups, our prayer groups, our knitting and crochet groups, that all of them would be serving together in Jesus' name in the community. We don't know what that looks like quite yet because of the pandemic, but we are committed to being a church with a serving DNA. I went to America last year to look at some models of this. And I was in Birmingham, Alabama, the Church of the Highlands, who generously hosted me. They're a big church. They're one of America's biggest churches. But that doesn't matter. You know, there are more people in small groups in that church than actually attend their public services. And just like us right now, they're doing church scattered. But they've built within that community a DNA that their communities serve together. Their small communities serve together. Every Saturday pre-COVID, there were 10,000 people across the state of Alabama every Saturday serving in Jesus' name. Today, in the midst of COVID, it's their small groups that are out safely serving the community in Jesus' name. Jesus doesn't call us to comfort. Jesus calls us to community. Jesus calls us to serve. There was a hurricane a couple of years ago in Alabama, and they've got an app where you can type in acts of service. Someone suggested that the church could mobilize to go and help that community where the hurricane had hit. Devastated the local community. You know, in the space of 24 hours, 3,000 people from Highlands were on the street. 3,000 people were on the streets in red t-shirts serving that community in Jesus' name. The mayor of that town contacted the senior pastor of Highlands, Chris Hodges, and said, "I want to learn from you. How can you mobilize people that quickly?" And Chris Hodges actually replied and said, "I didn't mobilize them. They mobilized themselves because they love Jesus and they want to serve." Brings me back to 1978 and this song. It's going to suggest we finish the service and sing it, but I don't think our team would even know it. "Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey, brothers and sisters on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow through pandemics and every season till we see this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony, born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too." There's nothing better than God-honoring, Christ-centered, authentic, loving, small community. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than being the church in small community together, in rubbing shoulders, in doing life with other followers of Jesus who spur us on, who pick us up, who love us, serve us, care for us, challenge us to move out. Crossway, that's the challenge. Let's celebrate being the church as extended family. Let's celebrate being the church in small community. And let's be creative and imaginative that the community around us might say, "Wow, we like what we see. We like to see that church in action." Let's celebrate being the church of Jesus.